Acts in chapter 13, somewhere around verse number 40. But as an introduction, I would like to say that we are still with Paul the Apostle and Barnabas in the city of Antioch in a synagogue, preaching to a mixed crowd, Jews, of course, Hebrews, and the Gentiles. We remember that earlier in the book of Acts, the same book, the Apostle Peter was called, invited to the house of Cornelius, a centurion in Caesarea. That's in chapter 10. And when we get to the verse number 44, Peter is at the point of declaring forgiveness of sins prophesied by the prophets for all those who will believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their Savior. At that moment, the Lord is giving a wonderful testimony, and all those present, mainly Gentiles, maybe some Jew was lost among them, but mainly Gentiles, witnessed something marvelous that happened that the Lord did. It was something like a Gentile year of Jubilee. All the debts forgiven, all the shackles loose, all the prison doors opened, their hearts were opened to the Word of God. And that forgiveness of sins that has been prophesied so long ago, and in Christ Jesus being fulfilled to all those that believe, happened to these listeners as Peter was preaching. The moment he mentioned forgiveness of sins, their hearts were ready and their souls were blessed. There was no resistance to the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit descended like a wonderful shower of blessings. Here are some Gentiles listening in Antioch and a group of Jews. Apparently the Jews are more influential because the synagogue is a Jewish gathering place. And the Gentiles are looking up to the Jews as to the people of the Lord, the people of God. And they are expecting something, some leadership, some guidance in this religion, in this spiritual preaching and testimonies of the Holy Scriptures. Because these Gentiles have realized that God of the Jews is the real God, the true God. And if there is any salvation, it's in the faith in this God. And so, in his preaching, Paul is coming to the point that he is telling them about the forgiveness of sins. Verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this one, Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, the promised Savior, the promised Messiah, through this one is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." And at that moment, nothing happened. Why? Because nothing happened until that moment. As he was preaching, in the hearts and minds of these prominent Jews in the synagogue, there was more and more resistance. They didn't want this Christ, the Savior. They wanted a different Messiah. And so we see that Paul the Apostle is reinforcing this point of forgiveness by the verse number 39. "And by him, Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, the Son of God, the King forever, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." In the epistle to Hebrews, in chapter 10, I would read a few verses. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, not the very essence of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." So that's one thing that they could not receive, could not have received in the law, perfection that is given in Christ Jesus. For then, I continue the reading, verse number 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered these sacrifices, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. If they had perfect peace and perfect joy of God's salvation, which means that everything has been covered, they would have had no more conscience of their sins. But the memory of their sins remained in them because they were looking forward to the fulfillment of that promise of God. They had the promise of God, but not the complete fulfillment of that promise. Verse number 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, which means even if there were no special sins known to an Israelite, he still had to offer annual sacrifices for sin, because their sins were under a promise of forgiveness, and that forgiveness is coming on the day of Pentecost. That forgiveness is coming. After that, the Lamb of God, the true Lamb of God, has been offered. Not the Passover Lamb of God, which is a shadow of the true one, the real one that is coming. But when the real one has been offered, then the promise has been fulfilled. So we read here that in those sacrifices a remembrance was made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And yet, who believed the word of God in the days of that so-called Old Testament, in the days of law and sacrifices, the true and sincere believers and the true and penitent worshippers would offer their sacrifices. Those sacrifices have been acceptable to God. They had been forgiven and they had been free in the sight of God. Their sins were not mentioned by the Lord anymore unless they returned to their sins. So I read further, or let me repeat, verse number 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Otherwise, the hypocrites could have murdered Urijah the Hittite to take his wife Bathsheba from him and offer not only one sheep, but a whole bunch of sheep and be forever forgiven. No, 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 it's impossible. Same way, it's not possible that someone be covered by the blood of Christ and yet continue in sins and trying to bribe the Lord by some promise of hypocritical false repentance and continue in sin. So we read in the verse number 5, wherefore, when he, Christ, cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. That's what we read, I believe, in the beginning of the Gospel according to John, that the Word became flesh, and we have seen him, full of grace and truth, referring to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the living Word of God. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. And then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. These are great words, great statements. The divine Son of the Almighty God, talking to the Almighty Heavenly Father, offering himself. And then Paul the Apostle is explaining to the Jews something that they should have known and understood long, long ago. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, commanded, imposed on them. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The law commandments. The law as an enforcement is taken away in Christ. He voluntarily, willfully, of his own good will, to please the Heavenly Father perfectly, offered himself, having fulfilled all the law and the commandments perfectly, by the which will, his will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this one, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Back to the chapter 13 in the book of Acts. By him, Christ, Paul is preaching, everyone will be justified from all things from which they could not have been justified by the law of Moses. And I read the passage in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, and nothing happens. Their heart is closed. Their mind is stubbornly refusing the truth of God. And then there is a warning. Paul is preaching further. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers. These people here also despised the word of God. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And there is the end of Paul's sermon that day. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles remained there. Usually, the Gentiles would leave and the Jews, the Hebrews, would remain there to discuss further some things. But at this time, the Jews are gone and Paul the Apostle and the listeners of the Gentiles remained in a synagogue, and they, the Gentiles, besought, they asked that these words, this teaching, might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They need more of that. They're hungry for the word of God now. When the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. And these two, Paul and Barnabas, speaking to these proselytes and the Jews, persuading them to continue in the grace of God. So, when they became interested to hear more of the word of God, they were under the grace of God. And the apostles are persuading them to continue in the grace of God. So they did. Not only they kept their appetite for the gospel, but they also shared that with their friends and relatives, now they are very similar to Cornelius in Caesarea. He also talked to his friends and relatives, and whoever was interested came to Cornelius to hear the Apostle Peter preaching. Here, 1 week later, came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. I think that next Sabbath the angels in heaven were rejoicing for the beautiful, radiating, beaming grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was beaming upon them. They were rejoicing that the gospel of salvation is going to be preached to the Gentiles. But Satan and his angels are furiously looking for the way of disrupting and preventing the spreading of the gospel. So in the verse number 45 we read, "But when the Jews," some of the Jews, "saw the multitudes," more probably than ever before in that synagogue, now they were all around, "the Jews were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." So I imagine that these blaspheming Jews were the leaders of the synagogue, the prominent Jews, the Jews who are used to having full right to voice out their opinion. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed the Lord Jesus Christ and received that promised forgiveness of sin and were justified by that one offering that paid for all of their sins. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful. "But the Jews," these opposing Jews, these haters of the gospel of the Lord, "these Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expel them out of their coasts. But these two shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium, but not before they took full care of the disciples here in Antioch, and organized their church, and secured that they continue in the grace of God." So we read in the verse number 52, the last verse of chapter 13, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Such a wonderful conclusion of this chapter. As we had our regular Bible study on this chapter, one of the participants asked, "How does that harmonize with one another?" I will read again from the verse number 45. "But the Jews, when they saw the multitude, were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. How does that harmonize? How is this passage, these verses, how are they in agreement with one another? For so hath the Lord commanded us, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, and yet they came into the synagogue and they are preaching to the Jews. And even here Paul is saying to the Jews, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, to the Jews. And yet, he was sent to the Gentiles. So another participant gave his opinion that from the time of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from the time the sacrifice has been offered, and the promised jubilee took place through the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord Jesus Christ for all those that believe, all the Jews and the Gentiles, all are Gentiles. And only those that believed in Christ are the people of the Lord. So those that are of the seed of Abraham according to the flesh are not the children of the promise, but those that walk in the steps of our father, steps of faith of our father Abraham, they are the promised, they are the children of Abraham, they are the children of the covenant, they are the nation of God. So Paul has been sent to the Gentiles, and when some of the Hebrews met Paul and was open to listen to the presentation of the gospel, Paul would not say, oh, you are a Jew, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sent only to the Gentiles. No, no, no. Everyone who is not in Christ is a Gentile. Another opinion that was expressed in our Bible study is that when the Lord sent his disciples, in the gospel books, we read, for example, in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 10, that the Lord gave them, when he sent the 12, these 12 sent he forth and commanded them, saying so and so. Many of these commandments and instructions were very particular, that are not a constant rule or a law for every experience of the gospel teachers and preachers, especially among the Gentiles. And yet some of the principles, some of the teachings of the Lord are applicable. For example, Matthew 10 verse 11, and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. So in this chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas came first to that synagogue. That place should be worthy of hearing the gospel, I mean the people there. And yet some of them were not, especially the leaders and the rulers, as often was the case. And we read in the verse number 51 that Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium or Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost.